Well, Nancy, this is part two of our conversations, and we continued talking after our first one, and you said something that just made me sit bolt upright in my chair, and that was this comment: it is the body that listens. So I'm going to just toss that back into your basket, because I felt you were really onto something vitally important around the source of our deep intuitive listening.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I'm understanding more and more deeply the longer I live, I guess, the more I'm in this body. And I think this is the place where, you know, we all come in with this ability to listen, to sense, to understand, to feel through our bodies. This is the natural, this is the way all beings are and perceive. It's our connection to the cosmos. And, you know, animals know this, right? And you said in one of a part of our conversation that you know, it's very difficult to really communicate with and hear and receive from our animal friends if we're not in our bodies, if we're not home, if we're not present. And I think this is the, you know, this is the essence of it. As you know, as a species, we as humans have really forgotten how to be home, how to be in our bodies, how to walk in the world in a way that is in connection and communion. And I think as we come home to our own bodies, these openings begin to happen naturally. I don't know if that
you said
that makes sense, but
yeah, no, you said in our last conversation, we share a common language, and it isn't because we both speak English and have had similar experiences. I think you were talking about or referring to a language that is open to the creatures, is open to the non-human, and we recognize that in each other, that in our own different ways, we have touched into this deep language of kinship with stones, with trees, with animals, and we're able to feel that and experience that in actual messages, but it primarily comes through the lower body first. It doesn't come through the head, and even just through the heart. That's been my experience. I've had to really work to be in the lower three chakras, and that's where I feel the most resonance with the other kingdoms. So that you were also mentioning before, the need to slow down. When you come into your lower chakras, there is a slowing of necessity. And that runs antithetical to the way our society is running right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's exactly, you know, it's that concept of grounding, right? It's being anchored here in our bodies, on the earth, with the earth, in the earth, you know. And we perceive ourselves as these separate entities walking around in envelopes of skin, when in fact that's not what's true. You know, and I know for me, when I am in deep connection with another, and you know, for me, as you know, and I know for you too, much of my work is in the non-human worlds. When I'm in that deep connection and receiving really clearly and purely and truly, it's a very somatic experience. It comes into my body, the information, the understanding, the awareness, it comes into my body. I almost instantaneously can translate that into my own human language if, and this is a big if there is human language available to adequately express the information that I received. And oftentimes, and I'd be interested to hear about your experience with this too, but oftentimes I find that our human language is so impoverished and it can't begin to touch the depth and the magnitude and the multi-layered, multi-dimensionality of the understanding and the communication that's available when we listen with our entire bodies in that way.
I have an example of something that just happened earlier today with a brand new contact. Something that I do is ask a person permission to enter their energy field, and this is without them physically in the room. It's usually long distance. And I ask permission to connect with their energy field, and then I go deep in my body and allow my body to become almost like a mirror or in deep resonance with them. And I notice what happens. Sometimes there's a sensation in a part of my body, or there's images. And then as you describe, the challenge is how to articulate that. So I take the sensation experience and then shift to auditory listening. Give me the information so that I don't decode this in a flat-footed human way. So what happened on this call with this new woman today was I connected with her energy. I felt this beautiful, slow, fluid movement through my torso. And then I had an impression of maple syrup. So, you know, I'm thinking, this woman, she's traditionally you could say, oh, you're really sweet, you know. But as I continued to listen and listen for the way that spirit or source or nature, and I use those words interchangeably, would give me further language, human language, what I was able to say to her is, you have this grace and ease of being, and it has a natural sweetness, but it's not just the first hit of sugary maple syrup. I can almost taste the burnt fire, the leaves, the green leaves of the maple tree, the minerals up through the roots. And so I was able to say to her, I have this impression of you as having many, many refined layers in your expression, in your internal landscape. And then I said to her, is this really true of you? And she had the grace to say, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there was a quality of listening where I wasn't patronizing her, was saying, you must be very sweet. But I was listening precisely for the language behind the metaphor. So I'd like to say one more thing, Nancy, before I pass this back to you. One of the things that I realized was such a good training ground for me in working with plants is they don't pretend. They don't lie. They're just who they are. And so there is a pristineness in communing with a plant, and I think that's very true of animals, though I haven't done as much as you have in that regard. They aren't putting up walls of defense. They're not posturing. They don't have personas. They are who they are. And they will reveal that if you come with respectful body resonance into communion with them. So human beings are trickier. But yeah. I have found that even the resonance that I establish in this deep listening place within myself opens the corridor underneath their defenses too.
Yeah.
Has that been your experience?
You know, it has. And it's something I remember having a conversation about with you when we first met, and, you know, how our training with you, with the plants, and me with the animals and others, you know, how learning to listen in this way has allowed us a different way of listening with those of our own species and understanding. And You know, I love how you described that conversation with the maple syrup and the all of the layers of that metaphor and what you were able to describe. And I think, you know, that kind of listening, it's like listening and feeling into the essence underneath whatever might be on the surface. I think that's the practice, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really is. I think it makes us trustworthy to the realms that would communicate with us. And I think as human beings, we have to earn that trust again, to be gifted with the messages that the planet, the plants, the animals would bring to us. I think they recognize the quality of listening. Are they safe to speak? And we do this work to be trustworthy, to make it safe for them to speak. 'Cause that bond of trust has been deeply, deeply severed.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, also, it's been my experience in working with beings of many other species that there's a great understanding from many of our non-human companions on this planet that our species, the human species, has really lost its way. And I've had a lot of communication and conversation with animals, and I'll use some of the connections that I have had with whales as an example, where there's such a deep understanding that our species has forgotten, and there's a huge outpouring of compassion and tenderness and a desire to help us remember. And so it is true that we have to learn as individuals and as a species, we have to relearn how to listen and how to, as you say, be trustworthy. And then also we're being met, you know, we're being met by understanding and awareness that in, you know, many ways is oftentimes so much greater than ours. And being met with, "You've forgotten here, let us help you." And I think you know that one of the things that I do in my work is take groups of people to spend time with whales in places in the world where whales of different species are initiating and inviting contact with humans. And, you know, one of the places that we do this is in Baja in Mexico, where the gray whales have this just astounding outreach program for people, for humans. And you know,
what's their advertising technique?
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, I used to call it when we first started, you know, I used to think of it sort of as missionary work to the humans, right? But now, you know, as I understand and feel what it is more and more deeply, it's this great invitation to join with them in connection, in communion, to partner with them, you know?
Uh-huh.
And and they, because of who they are and what they know and what they're capable of feeling and sensing and understanding, they're able to open that in people in ways that, you know, it's nothing short of miraculous. But it's simply like who they are and how they move in the world and how they live and how they go. So, you know, I think it's both. I think we as a species, you know, we're so lost, and we so desperately need to find ways to remember our connection. And at the same time, we have these partners who, you know, are available to teach us and to help us.
What you're talking about also is opening ourselves to be able to receive from things that we have seen as lesser or lower, or that we are stewards of them on top of the food chain down kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to not to actually surrender our human defenses and our ways of being and be open to receive through the body, through the heart, through the brain, through the soul, where this connection is strong already, because most people love the earth and love the whales, do genuinely care for the earth, but we don't know how to receive the love of the other.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is some of the most profound inner work that we have to do. You said to slow down. It's slow down, yes, but the slowing down allows us to then begin to open where we can receive. And that's enormous, Nancy. You're making me sort of consider flights to Baja, you know. to go whale listening with you. Put me on your
let's talk.
Newsletter list so I can see if I can make that happen. That would be wonderful. I think when we often feel a connection through our hearts for something, we jump into that automatic, what can I do to help them? What can I do to make this situation better for the whales? And we go back into our human doing rather than our receptive being side, our deep feminine ability to just simply receive the other.
You know, I think there's a place for doing, right? I mean, I think there's a place for action, you know?
Yes.
But there's a way in which, you know, that human, this is probably a topic for a whole other conversation, but, you know, this human-centric way of viewing the world that we've been just indoctrinated with, you know, as you were saying, as humans, you know, being the dominant species, whether it's dominance and it's our responsibility to care for, or dominance in we're superior or top of the food chain, whatever, all of that sort of lens still puts us as separate from, different than, apart from, and in some way superior to.
Yeah.
And you know, as we drop into this place that we've been calling deep listening, what we discover is we are not separate from them. It's a field. It's a great field. It's a great cosmic field of, you know, stardust. And we're all in the field and in this cosmic soup. And, you know, and in that place, I mean, it really is what all the great spiritual traditions, you know, have at the essence of their teaching, is that we are one, but we can't sort of figure that out with our minds at all, right? We can't make sense of that. When you drop into that place in your body of connection and communion and understanding, it just becomes clear.
Yeah.
And that's the place I find that other species are so much more fluent in than we are. That's the place where they have to teach us, because they don't forget. They haven't forgotten that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I'm a little speechless at the implications of this, and just the sense of that field that you're describing. In one of the Gaia poems that I got many, many years ago, wrote, and I was communing with the spirit of Gaia. And the last poem in the 120 speaks to this field of love that you're talking about. What holds the world together is a field of love called home. Your cells remember this primal place and seek it every day. So Yeah, to restore that is really, truly, holy activism, I feel, Nancy. And I just want to thank you again for taking the time to share your wonderful way of being. And I think the whales are very thankful that you are there as their, you didn't call it an ambassador. What did you call it?
I might have used the word servant. Spokesperson, I just show up.
You just show up. I love that. Well, I look forward to future conversations with you, and thank you again. This has been delicious.
Thank you, Andrea.
Bye for now, Nancy.
Bye-bye.